And welcome to Bloom and Bloom. This is Christine.
This is Taylor.
Guys, I am well this week. I am so sorry. Last week, I sounded disgusting. I had to edit out so much of me blowing my nose.
Oh my gosh. It's all
so
good.
So if you are back this week, I just can't thank you enough for putting up with me.
Right?
That was silly.
Well, it's like whenever I cough and I'm like, oh my gosh.
You're like, sorry.
I hear it and I'm like, I'm gonna die.
We're only human.
Dying a little slow death.
We're not perfect.
But yeah, you're back.
I'm back. You know what? I got even sicker after we recorded.
You did.
Literally on Thursday, I think I was awake for 3 hours of the day.
No.
I slept the entire day. I was like, I have mono. Gosh. I'm not well. Ugh. But then I was so much better Friday. So
well, I was sick over the weekend. And I was like, I think Christine gave me her sickness. You or my children. I'm fine now.
Was it just like a cold?
Yeah. But like, I get real aggressive when colds come.
You get like, a man cold?
No. I get like, I'm like, oh, a cold. So then I'll drink like a packet of Emergency every morning.
Smart.
I'll drink the green powder, like, you know, every morning. I'll like take 55 vitamins. I'll put Zicam up my nose every 2 hours.
That
like that zinc stuff. And it's like gone.
I need to try
it's
that.
It's magic. I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But.
No, it works.
My nose is like, why are we getting swabbed so much?
I did Afrin. Have you ever used Afrin? Yeah. That shit is like cocaine.
Oh, you can't. Have you seen, there's Nate Bargatze. He's a comedian. Mm. He does a whole bit on Afrin and it's hilarious. I'll
really?
Have to show you it sometime.
I'll have to watch it. I'm not addicted to it. My mother-in-law is like, she has like a deviated septum. So she like cannot breathe unless she has it. Because they're like, you really should only do it for like 2-3 days max.
Oh, totally.
Because it is amazing. Like going to sleep with a stuffy nose, I would quite literally rather put a fork in my eye.
Oh, it's the worst.
So I'm like, I don't care. My mom's like, you really shouldn't, Christine. She gave me, she's like,
she's like, don't start. It's hard to stop.
Yeah, she's like, I have this prescription one and I tried it. And I was like, Mom, that shit didn't work.
You're like, do you know what works?
I went for the hard stuff.
Afrin.
Afrin worked.
They know how to keep you. They know how to keep you around.
Keep your sinuses open.
They sure do.
Yeah, speaking of being sick.
Yeah.
Chip came home from the dog sitter because we went out of town over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he comes home, I think he eats other dogs' dog food.
Oh,
I always send him with his own, but he comes home. Today he had diarrhea.
Yeah, because there's like other
throwing
things
up.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I had to lock him in a room and I had to
clean
up.
Do you always take him to the same place?
I have the last few times. I found these people on Rover who are great.
Amazing.
It's not their fault.
Well, yeah, like the pet's food is just down. Like that's just what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. So he did that. I'm like, cool. I love having diarrhea on my frozen grass.
It's so fun. It's so exciting. But at least he's making it outside.
Yeah. At least he did. Yeah. He definitely will throw up in the house, but he will not diarrhea in the house.
The nice thing about wintertime is you can wait till it's like nighttime and it's really frozen. Then you just like go pick it up.
Yeah.
So it's like a solid.
I'm going to not do that though. I'm going to wait till spring.
Oh, you could do that too.
And let it just get mowed into the grass. It's
I mean,
fertilizer.
I like to pretend like we pick it up immediately. We don't, so. But we also don't have a finished yard, so.
Yeah, you just got dirt. You just kick more dirt over it.
Exactly.
You're like, this will be great fertilizer for if and
for
when we
future.
Do get grass.
No, Jared goes out like every once a month or something, and he picks all
Yeah, we
it
make
up.
The girls do that
But
Saturdays.
It's aggressive.
Which there's threats involved. There is yelling.
Yeah.
There is whining.
You're like, this is your dog. Yep. You guys wanted a dog.
I know, Todd. I came in from, I ran an errand, and Todd was cleaning up throw up, and he was like gagging. I was like, is it the smell or the sight? He's like, the sight. He's like, ooh.
Oh.
And I'm just like.
It's everything for me.
Yeah. I mean, I can clean up barf. As long as it's, like, my own, like, either my dog or my family's barf.
I can't
I don't
even
have
clean up my own dog's barf makes me, like, sick. But, like, my kids, I can handle that like a pro. It's, like, the oldie time.
What is it about that? Like, I've definitely caught throw up in my hands more times than I can count.
Right? And it's just, like, your instinct. You're just like, oh,
catch.
Sorry.
Yes.
You'll, like, pick your kids' boogers. You'll do, like, all the things.
I'm real iffy with that.
I mean.
But I will do it.
I mean, it's not
like
with
I, like, my bare hand.
With a tissue.
Snot,
or with their shirt.
Snot, yeah, with their shirt, absolutely. I'm like, there you go. Have that wet, cold thing on your chest.
Speaking of getting sick, though, I've been getting, I don't know if it's because I've been sick or whatever, but I've been getting, like, advertisements for things. You know how
Instagram always so knows.
Creepy. But it's been giving me advertisements for that like Armara collagen powder.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like colostrum.
Yeah, I keep seeing colostrum and I was like, you lost me at colostrum.
I know. And it's like all these like men and women. And they're like, oh, you guys, I discovered the liquid gold. I'm like, you know, that's breast milk.
Yeah, straight up.
I'm like, also, who is providing this colostrum?
Right. And then I'm like, is it cow colostrum? I don't know why that makes it even grosser to
me. It does make it grosser. But also like, is it grosser? Like what? They like have just like women hooked up. Like freshly after giving birth, because like it only comes in right after birth. So it's like freshly after birth, they're like
window.
Milking it out of them. They're like,
oh my gosh.
Great. Thank you for your donation. We will freeze dry this and send you a little sample pack.
Right. Or pay me like thousands of dollars and then I'll pump for that. But you should see the nurses when you are in the NICU and you pump colostrum, the amount of happiness that they get for you and your child. It is fantastic.
Or they like you hand express it. They're like, oh, that is liquid gold. Stuff.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely had many lactation specialists in my day because my kids sucked at breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. Is it my boobs? Is it my kid? I'm personally blaming the kid because Absolutely. These tits are spectacular.
Oh, they are.
No. But when they come in, they're like, you know, if you've nursed, they hamburger your nipple into your child's mouth. I had thumb bruises on the tops of both boobs. So intense from them like hamburgering your boob down.
Why were they hamburgering it so aggressively?
It was the most frustrating. I think they were frustrated. My baby was screaming. It was the most traumatic thing ever.
Oh my gosh.
I did so much crying over breastfeeding.
Oh.
I need to go to therapy.
No, everybody did. I like would swear. I would scream. It hurt so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when people are like, oh, when like my only friend who I knew had a baby right before I had Jocelyn and her son came out and just jumped on the boob.
That is like so rare though.
I was like, that's beautiful. That's the way it is. And then my kid wouldn't. I was like, what is this?
I always tell people, I'm like, the people who tell you like, oh, like if it's like, doesn't hurt at all. And like, they just know how to do it. Like, that's the way. I'm like, no, that's a lie. All of it's a lie. Even like every time I'd go to a lactation consultant, they'd be like, oh, look, does it hurt? And I'm like, yeah, it hurts like a bitch. And then they're like, oh, here, let me adjust their head.
Let me hamburger your boob somewhere.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, see, that was a perfect latch. Doesn't it feel so much better? I'm like, no, it does not. It feels terrible.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, don't let anyone tell you, like, oh, if they're latching right, it won't hurt a bit. Mm-hmm. It'll feel like pillows.
What?
No.
No. No.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Okay?
It was
and I
so
breastfed
much drama.
All three of my children to a year. And you do get to a point where it stops hurting. But lies.
How many months?
My friend told me, just give it 6 weeks. And so I just kept, like, telling myself, 6 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 weeks. And it was gone by 6 weeks.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Every time.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Millie was my only one who had a half-decent latch, and we only made it to 3 months.
Yeah. But it's aggressive.
Yes. So if you're about to be breastfeeding, our Gen Z listener, the single, the one. Just kidding. The things you can look forward to.
Yes.
Anyway. Fed is best.
Fed is best. I think that's such
I've
bullshit.
I've said it. I know it's controversial. Speaking of
Only
controversy.
It's not controversial anymore.
Now, at the time, I was really sensitive when people were like, breastfed is best. I was like, how dare you? I tried so hard.
Ew, who would even say that? Gross.
Persons in my family.
Oh. Older people.
And people who had babies the same time as me.
Oh.
And it was like, whatever. We'll talk about it over there.
Okay.
It wasn't traumatic. Anyway, okay. So speaking of bad parenting choices that you could make, we saw Ruby Frank or Frankie. We don't know.
We're not sure.
You mom YouTuber, she's pled guilty to, what was it, like aggravated child abuse?
Let me look. Yeah.
And
it's so stupid. It's she's so gross.
It's so bad and it's hilarious. It's like goes against, so she was like, people listening probably know more about this than I do because I like just really don't subscribe to YouTube families at all. I never have. And I even now think they're even more disgusting.
I only do Disney YouTubers.
Which is fine. That's fine.
But they're just at Disneyland. You know what? Okay?
There probably are good families, but the ones my kids watch, I'm like, I can see like why you would start a family YouTube channel at the beginning, but then it kind of goes off the rails into being like, this just needs to be entertainment. And mm-hmm. it's so far-fetched and performative. It grosses me out.
It's so insane.
Exploiting their kids. Anyways, so she abused her kids.
Yeah, it says that she admitted to physically and emotionally abusing her children.
Yeah.
And she pled guilty to 4 counts of aggravated child abuse.
Yes. And so she was sentenced from 1 to 30, maybe even 60 years. We've seen many different things.
Nobody can pick.
Nobody knows for sure. So, I mean, a lot of people are really happy to hear that. Even her husband, who I guess that they were separated, because people are like, why isn't her husband going to jail? Apparently they were separated and she was putting on like her best face forward when she saw him. And he's like calling for super heavy punishment.
But was he not involved at all? This is what I'm curious about.
Was he not
involved at all?
I'd like to know.
Is he like, oh yeah, like now that they're divorced, he's like, oh yeah, like
she sucked.
She sucked. And like now she's like, ultimate punishment, but mm-hmm, maybe
he just like distancing himself.
I mean, obviously, I don't know. I just
curious. And then her little sidekick Jody is also getting sentenced.
Barf, we don't like any of them.
Mm-mm. So yeah, I really hate family YouTube. There, I said it.
There you go.
There, I said it.
Hot take, straight from the source.
Yes.
I mean, speaking of crazy like family stuff,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen. I was, like, scrolling TikTok the other day, scrolling, and I've been seeing, like, these reactions to these people reacting to this lady's story.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is, let me look her up because I don't want to get it wrong. Ressa Tessa, R-E-E-S-A. T-E-E-S-A.
Okay, Risa Tessa?
Yeah.
Something?
Tessa, I don't know. So, she has a series called Who the F Did I Marry?
Oh.
It is a 55-part playlist on, and it's insane, on TikTok.
Okay.
You need to go watch it. It's nuts. And it's, like, all about how she married a pathological liar.
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone's gripped by it. I have been listening in every spare moment of my life
today.
Give
us a couple highlights.
It hasn't even gotten to the spiral. It's just talking about like their meeting, how they started to get married. Like lots of weird suspicions, but that's it. So okay. I'm not even halfway through.
Yeah, because I know I have a friend who's getting a divorce from her husband who's a pathological liar. And he'll lie just about anything. Like, not even nefarious. He'll tell her he's going somewhere. He goes somewhere else. And he's like, why? Why?
But why? Well, like, one example that, like, she obviously hasn't told the full, like, how she figured out and, like, what was real and what's not. But she's alluded to the fact that he would have 45-minute conversations on the phone with, like, a brother that's not even real. In the same room with her.
What?
Like, he would just, like, be, like...
Have, like, a fake, like, a one-sided conversation.
Yeah, like, hey, like, how's the kids? Oh, good to hear that, man. 45 minutes every day.
That is commitment. He has, like, what is that?
Unhinged.
Is there, like, a diagnosis for that?
Yeah.
What, like, beyond pathological lying? That's
narcissism.
Nuts.
I don't know. Insane. But you've got to listen. Okay. It's nuts.
Okay. You let me know when it starts to get, let me know which part I really need to come back for.
Because
that sounds like a lot of time.
It is a lot of time, but I feel like you need all the info.
It's going
to
be worth it.
Because there's so much mm-hmm. in there of like, that links to that links to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's like why that's so crazy. And that's why that's so crazy. It's so weird.
Well, I cannot wait.
It's nuts. So I'll come back next week with an update.
And also, speaking of unhinged, Taylor finally made me watch the Turn Down for What video. And she was like, it's crazy. I was like, oh, yeah, I bet. And then she played it for me. And how is this video not more popular? How does everyone not know how insane it is?
It's insane.
Because who sings it?
Lil John.
Lil John's nowhere to be found.
No.
He's not in it for a minute.
It's literally people thrusting themselves around an apartment building.
Through buildings.
Floors.
Yes. You must. We'll try to post a clip if we can to our stories.
Not kid friendly.
Absolutely.
You must watch it.
Not safe for work.
No. But very entertaining.
You're like, oh, that song's a banger. Wait till you see the music video. Well,
and if you you turn it on. You're like, wow, this is weird. And then it gets weird. Keep watching.
It gets weirder.
Please do not stop.
Just when you think it's peaked, it hasn't.
It sure hasn't. Yeah.
It's not done it.
For sure. Speaking of peaking.
Perfect segue.
I found this lady who is crocheting an orgasm blanket.
Ugh.
Yes.
Ugh.
And I have to show you it because it's the most insane thing I've ever seen. Okay?
Okay.
She's creating an orgasm blanket where every day she crochets a row. Okay? This is how she determines what color she's crocheting that
day. I'm so scared.
Zero orgasms that day. White.
For her?
For her. One orgasm, light pink. Two orgasms, pink. Three orgasms, dark pink. Now I've got to show you the blanket. This girl is having an aggressive amount of orgasms every day. There's only like two times where she's crocheted white, you guys.
Does she have a partner?
I don't even know.
I don't like that she's putting this that is on her. The internet. Oh, when you said a lady who's crocheting, I imagine she was 75.
No, no, this is a girl. Like a girl our age, probably.
Okay, I feel better about this already. Because I was like, still, I don't want to know.
Three orgasms a day?
She's got purple hair and a lot of days. Eyebrows. Do the carpets match the drapes?
Absolutely.
Sounds like they probably get a lot of air time, so she has to have them be fancy.
So that's interesting. But I had to just bring it up because
I imagined a woman named Edna doing that. So
amazing.
So great.
But she has crocheted tube tops. Look at these.
Oh my gosh. Hers isn't as good as mine.
No, it's sure not.
It's not.
Maybe better, but it's not as good.
No, mine's better.
Thanks.
Okay, so Todd and I cannot agree on a TV show to watch that we like.
Yeah, what the heck?
We bailed on the Lewinsky thing. I thought it was going to be great because I loved all the other ones. But that story is like, it's actually pretty complex.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've told you that already, haven't I? I don't know. But it's like, I don't know who such and such is with the government. If it's not the president, the first lady, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. So we bailed on it because it's taking too long. Whatever. Monica, it's really sad what happened to
her. Oh, absolutely.
But we started watching the new True Detective series.
Yeah.
Season, I mean, with
Did you watch the first ones?
We've watched parts of them. We actually haven't ever finished one. I know. Everyone loves them. I don't know what our deal is. Whoa. Why we've never finished it.
Okay. The second one, I've heard, is not as good. The first one was great.
Yeah.
The second one I've heard is meh. Third one I've heard is great. So this one, I've not heard anything about.
Yeah. It's Jodie Foster. It's an Alaskan thing.
Yeah.
It reminds me of our Starlight Tours because it's like a lot of native people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. We've only watched like 1.5 episodes, but we're like, what?
You're liking the first episode, which is common. You guys do like a lot of first episodes.
We do. We really enjoy a first episode.
You're like, can recommend the first episode.
I super recommend.
The rest? No.
Can't speak for. Do you have ever watched Bridgerton?
Yes.
The third season is coming out soon.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited.
I love Bridgerton.
Because
it's such a light, easy, like, fun watch.
Costumes.
Yes.
Music.
What is the,
steamy.
Like, what is the character that...
So it's the son... Okay, so it's the redhead friend, Featherington.
Don't ruin it.
Oh. Well, her name is Featherington. Like, that's her last name. But I'm not going to say who else she may or may not be.
You guys, no spoilers here.
No spoilers here if you've seen the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch it. And then one of the sons, I can't really, he's the one who's been her friend. The brother.
Oh, yeah.
What is their last name?
Bridgerton, isn't it?
Yes. That's the one.
Is that the family that we're talking about?
Yes. While you're at it, if you feel like being bummed out, go ahead and watch Queen Charlotte.
I know, you said that was a bummer. I've heard it's really good, though.
I mean, yeah, but it's just different than the regular.
Yeah, I'm but trying to think good. Of the younger brother's name. There's gosh, even there's if so you told many.
Me. Even if
Colin,
you told me.
Colin Bridgerton. Colin. That's right. And her name, the redhead is one's name.
Her name was Pen.
Penelope.
Penelope.
Featherington.
That's what I was saying.
Yes, that is exactly what you were saying. And you did it. You did.
And I nailed it.
You did. So good there. Also,
checks out.
The new love of, have you heard anything about the new Love is Blind season? I know you've not watched any of these.
The one girl who said she looks like Megan Fox.
Yes.
That's all I've seen.
Oh my gosh. I have not seen the show, but I have been dying at the TikToks because apparently, yeah, some girl on there is like telling this guy that she looks, she's like, all my friends say I look like a celebrity. Oh, and this is
before they've seen each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
he's like, oh yeah, she's probably super hot then.
So like, listen just to this.
People say that I look like somebody famous. Who do you look like? I don't want to say. Megan Fox? You look like Megan Fox? People say it, but I don't believe it.
He's like dancing and like, yes! The and reveal.
When they get the reveal, his face.
You have nice teeth.
You have nice teeth.
Is that really what he says?
I think so. I haven't seen it, but like, I'll show you just a picture of the guy's face like at the reveal because you'll laugh your butt off. So,
oh man, this is gonna hurt my heart because she's a cute girl. It's not that she's not cute.
I haven't even seen her. So, see, you're further ahead than
me. I just saw a picture of her next to Megan Fox, and she's like, "People who said I look like Megan Fox, this is your time to come forward."
Yeah, look at his face.
What a dick! Oh my! Oh no! Oh no!
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. But I mean, she has the same coloring as Megan Fox.
Yeah.
She has blue eyes and dark hair.
Yeah. So I'm just like, because this is all I've seen of her is the back of her head. So I don't know what she looks like, but I am dying at the reactions to it. And oh, I'm like, gosh. I need to watch this now.
Why would you go on a show like that?
I don't know.
Any reality show. Yeah. Really.
You just were in St. George though. How was it?
It was good. It was sunny. Ugh. It was warmish.
Like, I'm so jealous.
It just felt really good to have the sun on us.
Yeah.
And my kids got along, which was super
incredible.
Weird. I think they all got some sun, some vitamin D, and then they
That's
were happy.
That's all we need, right?
Apparently. I know, because they like kept not fighting.
I saw you ate at Durango's. Do you guys eat there very often?
Every time. It's like our family's favorite.
I just went there for the first time when I went to go see Taylor Swift in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
It was good.
Yeah, it's good. It's like Cafe Rio. And Costa Vida.
Just a little different.
It's like a little fresher, I think. I don't know. We love it.
Yeah.
We eat there.
That's exciting.
Too much, probably.
I mean, we're going down on Thursday, so.
Oh, are you?
I'm hoping it'll be equally as nice.
Are you and Jared?
No, all the kids.
Us. Oh, fun. Yeah.
So it'll be fun.
Where are you staying?
We like to stay in this Marriott that's like outside of Zion's.
Oh,
National
cool.
Park.
Are you going hiking?
Probably a little bit, but I just love like waking up to like the scenery in Zion's mm-hmm. National Park. And then
so
like,
pretty.
It's only like a 45 minute drive into St. George, but we're going to do the Parade of Homes and stuff.
Oh
so.
My gosh. Yeah. There were so many cool houses.
My kids love it so much. So
oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Jocelyn mm-hmm. was into it. The other girls weren't really.
Like,
there's so many huge houses that are like $8 million. And I'm like, they're gorgeous.
Totally.
But I'm like, who would really live here? Because it's like, you walk around a corner and it's like another seating area.
Yeah.
Walk four steps. Whoa. Another seating area.
But it's fun to walk through,
know.
You know?
The pools are like...
Oh, yeah.
So fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, we're at 24. Before we get started, is this a gloomer or is this a bloomer?
It's a gloomer, but okay. Not like... I mean, yeah. We'll jump into
you
it.
You tell me.
So, I'm just going to tell you right off the bat who we're talking about. So,
you tell me.
I will. I'm going to tell you the story today of Billy Milligan.
Billy Milligan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a name that I know.
You will, for sure. I've been wanting to do this story for a really long time, but I've been putting it off.
Because and it sucks.
This is the week. No, I just felt like it was like a lot of information. I was like, do I have the time? And I even doing it, I wish I would have, like, given myself more time because of, I'll tell you.
Okay.
So if you have no idea who this is, I wrote that maybe you told me this, but
maybe I did,
maybe not, but the Apple TV show, The Crowded Room, that Tom Holland is in.
Oh yeah.
Is the story of this. And it's now I'm completely regretting not watching it.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's another one we bailed on.
Yeah.
Todd thought it was too dark.
Well, yeah, it's really upsetting.
Yeah. And so I don't know the story.
Well, I'm here to tell you about it. Oh, my gosh.
I'm so happy. Well, because this is the
one. How far into it did you get?
A couple episodes. Because this is the one. Didn't Tom Holland say, like, I need a break from acting after this? Yeah. Yeah, because mm-hmm. it was a doozy.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay, so Billy Milligan is also known as the campus rapist.
Ah!
Mm-hmm. And it, like, history says, I don't know. Okay. He's also known as the campus rapist, and his story is highly publicized because he is the first ever defendant found not guilty due to multiple personalities.
Yeah, so right in the beginning when it starts is you're totally on his side,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, what? No, he's so great. And then yeah. you're like, wait, something's up with him. Like, is he... like, lying? Like, what's his deal? That's why we quit.
So. Oh, my gosh.
No, we'll never know.
Well. There is also a documentary on this on Netflix called Monster Inside, The 24 Faces of Billy Milligan.
Okay, I've almost covered this, too, but then yeah. it felt like too much, so I stopped.
Exactly.
That's and I don't like, even remember it. So.
Yeah. So, and then there's also a book called The Mind of Billy Milligan by Daniel Keyes. So, before we dive into the subject,
mm-hmm.
though, we need to address multiple personalities. Because yes. this is, like, an older, outdated term.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
And people do not have multiple personality disorder anymore. Oh. Of course, some people may still prefer that.
Yeah.
And so, for those people, I honor you. I honor that.
For sure.
But it is now known as dissociative identity disorder, or DID.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. The more you know.
Right? So, obviously, I want to be super respectful about this. So, I'm like, if I'm saying something wrong, like, anyone's welcome to correct me.
Yeah.
But I got all of this information straight off, like, the Mayo Clinic. Okay?
Okay.
So, this disorder involves switching to other identities, or I saw also people calling it alters, like, alternate. I don't know. They just call it alters.
It's easiest when we know it is multiple personality, so you want to be like different personalities.
Totally. So you may feel like you have two or more people talking or living inside your head, and you may feel like you're possessed by other identities. So each identity may have a unique name, personal history, and features. These identities sometimes include differences in voice, gender, mannerisms, and even such physical quality as need for eyeglasses.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. There are also differences in how familiar each identity is with others. And dissociative identity disorder usually also includes bouts of amnesia and often includes times of confused wandering.
Wow.
Yeah. But dissociative disorders are mental health conditions that involve experiencing a loss of connection between thoughts, memories, feelings, surroundings, behavior, and identity. And these conditions include like escape from reality in ways that are not wanted and not healthy.
Hmm.
And this causes problems in managing everyday life. So... these disorders usually arise as a reaction to shocking, distressing, or painful events and help push away difficult memories.
Mm-hmm.
And symptoms depend on symptoms depend on the type of dissociative disorder and can range from memory loss to disconnected identities, and sometimes stress can like worsen the symptoms for a while. So they say treating dissociative disorders can be difficult, But many people learn new ways of coping with their lives and get better through talk therapy and medicine. So you can live a very normal life with DID.
That's good.
I know. So lastly, it's important to know that this is a very rare case, and people who have DID are typically not violent. They are not going to be dangerous. And I've seen like articles, like posts, TikToks about this case, and people are always like, people are with DID are not dangerous. Like, this is an extreme case. I mean, just like the human race.
Right.
There are men who are violent. There are women who are violent. There are like,
yeah.
But that is not everybody.
Right.
So it's important to remember that as we go into this story.
Noted.
And then there's also times in the story where I do say multiple personality disorder, but that's is specifically the language that was used in this case. So I do leave that in for those instances sometimes. Alrighty. Let's dive into our case, okay?
Let's.
So Billy Milligan was born in Miami Beach, Florida on February 14th, 1955. Aquarius. Sorry.
Baby.
Yeah, he is. I didn't even notice that.
My sister is also a Valentine's baby.
She is.
I think it's just the cutest birthday.
Oh my gosh. Did you guys do something special for her birthday, or did she do something with her?
She did family. Something with her family.
Yeah. You don't do like a Galentine's Day?
We should.
You should.
I'm such a shitty sister. Kim, if you're listening, next year,
tell
Josh to get out of our way. We're having Galentine's. She did go to the Super Bowl.
She did?
She did.
What?
I know.
Weren't tickets like $4 billion?
They were. But they got tickets somehow. Well, they like...
That's amazing.
They know like Coach Reed's family.
Who's Coach? I don't even know who Coach Reed is.
So he's the coach of the Chiefs. They like have some connection with him and they've met him. So she's kind of a big deal.
So she saw Usher in the flesh.
Yes, I know. Yeah, she said it was super fun. And I said, can you see Taylor Swift? And she says, no, I think she's in a suite below
Dang
where we
it.
Are. So I told her she's not allowed to speak to me now. So, said she didn't see her.
Although she's like, I was too high up. She was below me.
Yep.
Amazing. All righty. So, yeah, born on Valentine's Day, 1955. His mother was Dorothy Pauline Sands, and his father was Johnny Morrison. They had two kids together besides Billy.
Mm.
A brother named Jim, who was born in 1953, so older than him, and Kathy Jo, born in 1956, so like
very close,
younger. Mm-hmm. But like he was born early in 1955, and she was born in like December of 1956, so like almost 2 years. And his dad really struggled with being a parent and fatherhood in general, and fell into alcoholism and depression, and he eventually died by suicide in 1959 when Billy was only 4 from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Shit.
I know.
So okay. Why didn't go get cigarettes and not come back like most dads in that time?
Right? So right off the bat, Billy's already having a real shit life.
Yeah,
okay.
That sucks.
So his mom moved away from Miami at that point. And she had been married before his dad to a man. And when she moved away from Miami, she remarried that ex-husband. But it only lasted a year.
What do we say? Reduce, reuse, recycle. She's recycling her husband's.
But also, maybe don't recycle a husband. If it didn't work out the first time, I mean, I'm sure it can work sometimes. But like, there's probably a reason it didn't work out.
And can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah.
Todd's parents, I mean grandparents, so Cindy's parents divorced when she was like in high school, I think.
Yeah.
Then they were divorced forever. Her dad got remarried like 2 or 3 more times. They got remarried when Todd was in high school.
What?
And they're still married.
So it works for his family.
One marriage recycling you can count as a win.
I love that.
I know. Isn't that funny?
Wow. What a romantic story.
Yeah.
I love it. But yeah, for her, did not work out that way.
Okay.
It lasted a year, did not work out. And then she met a man named, I'm assuming he's named Chalmer. It's C-H-A-L-M-E-R. Chalmer?
I like Chalmer.
Chalmer. Chalmer Milligan.
Okay, Chalmer.
Yeah.
Why don't you chalm down?
You need to chalm down.
She's like, damn.
In the words of Taylor Swift. It's
7 a.m. Chalmer.
So he was also divorced, and his wife filed for divorce on grounds of gross neglect.
She's like, he's gross.
Yeah. Maybe he neglected his grossness. Like, she would like him a little grosser.
His hygiene. Oh.
But he neglected to be gross.
Yeah. She needs a certain amount of depravity he wasn't giving her. And I think that that's grounds.
I think it's beautiful.
Divorce granted.
Yes. He also had a daughter that was the same age as Billy, named
Chalmer.
Chala? C-H-A-L-L-A.
Chala.
I don't Chacala. Know. You tell me how to say these names, okay?
She's a junior.
I'm like, no, you know, sometimes in like it. Spanish, two L's make a Y. So like,
Chaya?
Chaya?
We need to know his nationality.
I mean, Milligan, I'm not sure where that comes from, so.
I feel like that's got to be, like, Irish or Scottish.
That's what it sounds like to me. Doesn't sound like Spanish.
We don't know. We'll never know.
So, in 1962, they were, like, 7, okay?
Okay.
Chal and Billy, okay? and then he had another daughter who was a nurse. So I'm assuming she's grown. And
her name was?
They didn't say her name.
Chalette.
She's like, I don't want my name linked with this. Please don't mention me.
We respect it.
Yeah. When I called to interview her, she was like, please leave me out of your story.
And you're like, can do.
Will do. So Chalmer adopted all of Dorothy's kids and legally changed their last names from Morrison to Milligan.
Hmm.
So that kind of explains why Billy's last name is Milligan, okay?
Yeah.
So by the time Billy was basically 7 years old, he'd already suffered a great deal of trauma.
Yeah.
Between parents divorcing, father dying by suicide, and it also came out, I believe during Billy's trial, that Billy claimed that Chalmer severely abused him.
Oh.
And there were some reports that say that he sodomized him. And threatened to bury him alive or hang him by his fingers or toes if he told anyone.
Well, that is some trauma.
Right? But his stepfather, of course, denies all these allegations.
Like, I'm Chalmer. I would never.
Listen to how my name sounds. Chalmer. That's a sophisticated name.
Chalmer would never.
Calm down, young Billy. I would never. But flip it. Again, Billy's mom and two siblings testified at the trial that he had been abused, like abusive towards Billy and his sister, and said that his sister said that the years that they lived with Chalmer were, quote, a horror. So... three against one. Neener, neener, boo, boo. Okay.
Okay, Chalmer.
Yeah. So some doctors believe that this is what caused Billy to develop different identities or multiple personalities as a way to cope with the abuse. So the book I mentioned earlier, the author, I believe, said that he believes as a kid, Billy had his first three identities appear by the time he was 5 years old.
So little.
Yeah. So that was like soon after his dad passed away, which makes sense. So the ones that were listed in the book apparently are No Name Boy.
Okay.
Christine and Sean.
Wow. Right? I wonder if the Christine was a kick-ass redhead.
Well, I'll tell you about her bit later. She could be, I guess. So that's earlier than the abuse, but also not like super surprising to me because obviously he's dealing with something really horrific. But once the abuse was in full swing, Billy developed nine identities, some male, some female, who are between the ages of 3 and 23.
Wow.
And some of them would start to get violent. Yeah. And then in 1975, when Billy was only 20, he was arrested for rape and armed robbery.
Tom Holland, no!
Yeah. And then he was paroled in early 1977. So he was in jail for like 2 years, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, that's not
very armed long. Robbery and rape. 2 years. That's plenty.
That is not.
Don't like it. Don't agree with it. And then, so he's released in early 1977. And then on October 14th, 1977, when Billy was 23 years old, he approached a young woman who was an optometry student in the parking lot of Ohio State University campus.
Okay.
He aimed a gun at her and led her into a secluded area in the woods. And once in the woods, he raped her and made her finish. Oh, when they finished. Once they were in the woods, he raped her. Then when he was finished, he made her write and cash a check for him.
But.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not great.
He's like, if this is reverse prostitution,
yeah,
I make you have sex with me and you pay me.
And you pay me for it. Don't like it. And it wasn't long after that he struck again. Only 8 days later, he raped a second victim.
But his name was on the check, right? So they should have been able to find him.
Well, so we'll get there.
Oh, okay.
So he raped a second victim. And then only 5 days after that, he attacked a third time.
Oh my gosh.
But she paid him.
Right.
Like, it could have been a blank check. Like, it's not like she filled it out.
Okay.
And if he has another identity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this man. This
is where it gets complicated, okay?
Yeah.
So, after he attacked his third victim. So, since he'd been arrested previously, one of the victims was able to identify him from a collection of mugshots.
Mm.
And he was identified by his fingerprints. They were also matched to a set of fingerprints that were found on one of the victim's car. And so he was arrested again. They were also able to search his residence and found a gun. And he had also used a gun in, you know, kidnapping them. But because of these two things, it was found that he violated his parole by having a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, this time, he was indicted on three counts of kidnapping. Oh, yeah, three counts of kidnapping, three counts of aggravated robbery, four counts of rape, and he was placed in Ohio State Penitentiary to await a trial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully, he gets sent to jail for life and story over.
Well, we'll find out, but I did say at the beginning he was found not guilty, so... So when he was arrested this time, investigators felt like some things were really weird and off, like with their interviews with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the OSU police investigation supervisor named Elliot Boxerbaum recalled, he says, "I couldn't tell you what was going on, but it felt like I was talking to different people at different times." Yeah. And the victims also corroborated the story, saying that he called himself Phil, and he claimed to be Jewish, and told one victim that he was a member of the Weathermen.
Is that a cult?
No. So this is a far-left militant organization that later became known as the Weather Underground, and it was a group that was organized as a faction of Students for a Democratic Society national leadership on the campus of the University of Michigan in 1969. And the FBI describes the Weather Underground organization as a domestic terrorist group that took part in domestic attacks. And we could like make this a whole story because it's insane. Mm. But basically, they took credit for 25 bombings that occurred in the 1970s.
Jeez.
Yeah.
The Weathermen.
The Weathermen or the... the Weather Underground organization.
Okay.
Crazy. So Billy was telling the victims that he was a member of this organization. And then he also, they also said that he sometimes spoke with an accent. But not long after his arrest, he was sent for a psychiatric evaluation with a man named Dr. Willis Driscoll.
Okay. Am I supposed to know that name?
No.
Oh.
That's just his name. That's just his name. So he originally diagnosed Billy with schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And he was examined by, then he was examined by a psychologist named Dorothy Turner from the Southwest Community Mental Health Center in Columbus. And when she spoke to him while he was in custody, she called him Billy. And in response, he said, "Billy's asleep. I'm David."
Hmm. That would be really freaky.
Right?
Yeah.
So she took that and basically called up two other people, a psychiatrist named George T. Harding and a psychoanalyst named Cornelia Wilbur. And I guess Cornelia Wilbur was really well known for her work with a woman named Sybil, who is another patient of hers who had dissociative identity disorder, who had 16 personalities.
That's so many.
I know. So she worked with Sybil and helped successfully meld her personalities, which I wasn't sure what that meant or what it looks like. But we'll get, I'll tell you a little bit about that later. But the story of her working with Sybil was turned into a book and a movie. And both the book and the movie are called Just Sybil.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
I know, right? But I'm like, also there's like the actress, like I think her name, isn't there an actress named Sybil?
Maybe.
I think so.
How do you spell Sybil?
Well, this one is S-Y-B-I-L.
Yeah.
But I'm like, isn't
Sybil Shepherd?
That's what I was thinking of. Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know if that's just sounding like familiar because of her or because of this story.
I don't know.
But anyway, so she was, Cornelia Wilbur was able to like help her meld her personalities or whatever. So psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Harding and Wilbur came in and they like assessed Billy and found that his psyche had fractured into at least 10 different personalities.
That's so insane.
So I'm here to tell you about some of them, okay?
Please do.
So, first off, there's Arthur. He is a prim and proper Englishman who was an expert in science, medicine, and hematology. Very fancy.
And very specific.
Right? There's Alan. He's a manipulator. Tommy, who's an escape artist and a technophile.
What does that mean?
It's apparently someone who has a strong attraction for technology. I don't know if that means they're attracted to technology.
Or they're just like,
like turned on by technology, or they're just like really like fascinated by it. Right. I'm not sure.
Okay.
You just said attraction for
technology. Go off, Alan.
A 3-year-old girl named Christine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So 3-year-old Christine could be a badass redhead. Oh, yeah, I'm not sure.
I bet she's totally psychotic.
Yeah. And a 22-year-old named Britt, whose main job was cleaning up the other personalities' messes. So the two personalities that mattered the most, though, in this case, was a 23-year-old, I want to say Reagan, R-A-G-E-N.
Okay.
And I can't even say his last name because it is, I can't.
Okay.
But he was a Yugoslav communist who had a Slavic accent and lacked empathy.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one is Adelana, A-D-A-L-A-N-A.
Okay. Is that a woman?
Mm-hmm. A 19-year-old curious lesbian who was shy, lonely, and introverted. She cooked for all the personalities and craved affection.
Hey.
Yeah. So these two personalities, the doctors determined that it was Reagan who robbed the women, but they said in some kind of like Robin Hood type spirit.
Hmm.
And then Adelana, who raped them. But they also found that Billy was like the core personality.
Right.
And he was suicidal and had strong feelings of guilt. And they claimed to they claimed that he had been asleep for, like, the last 7 years.
Oh.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to even wrap my brain around that.
You should watch. Did you ever watch like as a like it came out so long ago, but there's like that Bruce Willis movie Unbreakable that came out. Mm-mm. So it's a movie where like if he gets a scratch, like he never gets a scratch. He's never had a cut. He like has never been sick. Like there's mm-hmm. like a commercial from my childhood that I remember and I've seen it now, but like where he's like, I've never even had a cold. I've never all these things. Anyway, it's a 3-part series by M. Night Shyamalan.
Okay.
And the second in the series is one called Split.
Oh.
And you should just watch that.
I've seen the preview. It's very scary, right?
It's really not that scary, but it's very interesting.
The guy looks creepy, maybe.
Oh,
then?
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Because I'm like, I always thought it was scary, and I never.
I mean, it's like supposed to be like a little scary, but like all three of them together are kind of like this like dark superhero movie.
Oh, okay.
Like series. It's weird, but I love it. Anyway, I like, oh, I want to watch that again. But it kind of is like very interesting to see him, because obviously, like, this is not true, but like see him snap between the different identities or whatever.
Right.
So he'd been Billy had been asleep for the last 7 years. And when Cornelia met Billy, he told her, like for her first time, he told her that every time I come to, I'm in some kind of trouble. I wish I were dead.
Oh. So he like comes to like after Adelana raped someone.
Totally. He's like, he has no idea. Yeah. And he and the other personalities allegedly had no memory of what Reagan and Adelana had done.
My goodness.
I know. It's kind of insane. Like, just to wrap your mind around, like, how that would feel.
And that it's, like, a real
thing. A real thing.
Like, a lot of killers get caught. I'm trying to think. One of, like, a famous one was like, no, it wasn't me. It was John, who is like, you know, this other personality, but then they were able to figure out that he was lying. Because, you know, they're like, I wouldn't do that.
Right? So, yeah, I was thinking about that too. So, like, obviously in our society, when someone, like, commits a crime, it's, like, supposed to be, like, innocent until proven guilty, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like most of us have this, like, mentality of, like, if somebody's been convicted or arrested, I guess not convicted, but, like, arrested for a crime, and they have, like, any sort of evidence on them, like, we're just like, they're guilty.
Done.
They're guilty. Which is not right.
No, but it's kind of, it's hard.
Yeah. And he was guilty. But I'm just saying that, like, when it comes to crimes, like, with such a, like, passionate response, like, when we hear, like, criminals plead, like, the insanity plea or whatever.
Yeah, we're like, who cares?
Well, yeah, we've just had so many people cry that it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf, that we, like, don't believe it.
Yeah.
And we're like, it's just tainted everything. We're like, likely story.
Like, sure, Jan.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, people have not, like, there's people who cry this and they're not falling into this category. So when people who actually do fall into this category of having something more going on, I feel like it's really easy for us to be skeptical of it.
Totally.
Like, as a convenient story. And that's exactly what happened here. So when, like, this came out, like, not everyone bought his defense, obviously, that he had, like, multiple personalities. And there was, like, such a strong response to this that even people in the medical field denounced the idea of someone having multiple personalities and claimed, at best, the term was misrepresented the condition.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's the thing about, like, this kind of medicine is, like, you can't prove it.
Right.
So many people are going to have different opinions about it.
Oh, totally.
Like, in the field.
Yeah. So this is, like, part of the reason why the condition was renamed dissociative identity disorder. Because, like, it's not really another personality, but it's, like, they're disassociating from themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it kind of, like, helps people maybe understand it a little bit more. But they changed that in 1994.
Okay.
And a professor at the State University of New York in 1979 did an interview where he said, multiple personality is just a figure of speech. It's nothing but a hoax. How many faces does Lawrence Oliver or Elizabeth Taylor have? We're all actors, but there's only one person.
Hmm.
I was like, ooh, hot take, huh?
Hot take.
Yeah.
On that.
But people felt like this was an excuse that was just being, like, used. And they were just, like, thinking, like, oh, he's just using this to plead innocent by reasons of insanity.
Right. I mean, how convenient, though, yeah, really.
And they thought that, like, doing that would be, like, offensive to the legal system, which I get. But the sad part of this whole story is that, like, this whole story around his disorder and people being outraged really took away from the story of the victims, like the women who are victims in this story, which is such a bummer. And it also made people feel like super nervous that, like, what would this mean for the legal system?
Yeah.
But I feel like the legal system, at least from what I can tell, like, they hardly grant this to anybody.
No.
Yeah, I feel like they're very thorough.
Like, even Jeffrey Dahmer didn't get it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. You kind of got to give it to them, because I'm like, it's not like they're just handing out, like, reason of insanity right and left. So, yeah, they're just worried what it would mean for the legal system if he was found not guilty. And it made it also made psychiatrists really nervous of, like, what it would do for people's perception of people with DID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, ultimately, the judge ruled that Billy was not guilty by reason of insanity and instead committed him to the Athens State Hospital. So when he got there, he reported having 10 different personalities, and these were the only 10 that were known to psychologists. And while he was there, he met a psychiatrist named David Call, who was hoping to fuse his personalities. Again, I'll go into that later, because I was like, what? What does fuse personalities mean?
Right.
But so while he was receiving treatment from Dr. Call, Dr. Call found even more personalities.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So while treating Billy, he learned of another personality called the teacher. He drew him out by playing a recording of Reagan for Billy. And this was the first time that, like, Billy himself had heard proof of one of his other personalities.
Oh, wow. So he, like, doesn't know them.
No. Wow. And so I guess that's why they said, like, you'll have, like, long periods of amnesia, because you're like, I have no clue what I've been doing.
So do any of the personalities, like, know each other?
I think sometimes they do. And, like, that's one of the things, like, at the beginning they were saying something like, sometimes they, like, some personalities know each other, right. Some don't. It's very individually basis, you know?
Right.
But I guess, like, him hearing this is what drew the teacher out. But that guy did not stick around for very long because, like, just due to stress. And during all of his treatment and stress, 14 more personalities emerged.
Ah, so many.
Yeah. And they were labeled the undesirables. I don't know why. I don't think they were because they were, like, dangerous or anything. I think they just were, like, more background characters.
Like, more negative.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Billy's behavior then became, like, a little more intense, and so it made him a security risk for the hospital. So around the same time where he's in the hospital, he's receiving treatment in 1979, he started to be interviewed by Daniel Keyes. So this is the author of that book. Billy described to Daniel Keyes, like, how the hospital was, and he described it as a chamber of horrors.
Ah,
I know.
I know, I keep thinking, I'm like, I wonder, this guy totally would have been one to get a lobotomy back in
when. Oh, totally. Popular. Right? Like, yeah. Just a few years earlier, and it could have been not really great for him. But Billy remained at psychiatric facilities through the majority of the 80s. And then in 1986, he escaped the mental facility where he had been committed. And during his escape, he went by the alias Christopher Carr. And Wikipedia said that he might have been guilty of abducting his roommate and killing him.
Ah!
Which is one of two murders that he's suspected in.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Do we know how long he was escaped for?
So, after several months. He was out there for several months. After several months of hiding and leaving videotapes, he would leave videotapes of him complaining about his hospital treatment, and he would leave them for the media at the Greyhound station. So he did that for months on end, and finally he was arrested in Miami. Oh
my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And then 2 years later, in 1988, a decade after being in psychiatric hospitals, he was actually released. And doctors came to this consensus that all of his personalities had fused.
So he's healed.
Yeah. It's just crazy. And then, so that's 88. Then only 3 years later, on August 1st, 1991, he was discharged from the Ohio mental health system and the courts, meaning that he was released from all supervision.
Wow. This is like before they suspected him of killing someone, maybe?
No. So like they didn't have any proof that he did that. It's just like suspicion, but there's no, nothing to actually link him to that, but kind of interesting.
That is wild.
I know. I was like, that's like a really weird thing that they just like threw in there. And I was like, wait, what?
You're like, excuse me? Like,
but there's, that's it. He was just suspected of it. And that's it. Like, okay. But yeah, after that, he mostly stayed out of the public eye. And for a short time in 1996, he lived in California. It sounded like maybe someone wanted to make a short film on his story, but it never happened. And then after that, people really weren't sure where he was located for a long time. But his sister then came out and said that he had been living on her property in Ohio. And then in 2012, he was diagnosed with cancer and ended up dying of cancer at a nursing home in Columbus, Ohio on December 12th, 2014.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was only 59 years old.
Yeah, that's really young.
I know. What do we think of this case? Because obviously, there's no proof he killed anyone.
Well, who was the other person they thought he killed, do you say?
I don't know. There's Wikipedia like, was like, there's one, other one of two. I was like,
we're not going to tell you about.
What? I know. So, no proof he killed somebody. But there is proof that he did rape people.
Yeah.
And not just like the three from this big case, but like the one before that he'd been in jail for previously.
Yeah.
And clearly, all of it is wrong. Like, nobody should ever do something like that. But you also kind of have to feel for him. Because, like, under the circumstances.
Yeah, because it's like, it's still your body that committed these crimes. Right? Whether or not.
So, yeah, like
your dominant personality.
You're like, I feel bad, but also, you have to hold him accountable. It's just such a, it's an interesting thing to think about. Like,
yeah.
Like, what does it truly mean when somebody has a mental condition that, like, takes them beyond their control?
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
I mean, yeah, because part of me is like, oh, I can understand why they came to that conclusion. But then part of me is like, no. Right. But hey, he did go on, well, that we know of, he didn't commit any more crimes.
No, after he'd, like, received all of his treatment, which they do say, like, people can live very normal lives once they, like, figure all of it out. But here at the end, I know I talked a little bit about the fusing. So I looked into it and it says that with talk therapy, which is the most widely used modality to do this, they also said like you can kind of do it with like hypnosis sometimes too. But it sounds like talk therapy is mostly the one. But they try to help you work through your dissociative identity disorders, triggers. And then the goal is to help, in doing this, is to help fuse your separate personality traits into one consolidated personality who can control your triggers. And then it says that this therapy often includes, like, participation of family members. And it sounds like they just, like, try to start connecting, like, at least a couple of personalities at a time. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, like, let's connect. I honestly can't even imagine doing it, but
yeah.
They connect little by little till there's, they said there's, like, into, like, two main alters, and then they fuse them into one final fusion.
Wow.
Which is crazy to me. And then lastly, on WebMD, it gave a list of some famous people who have DID.
What?
Yeah. And those people include. What? WebMD could lie to me, but it said that it includes Marilyn Monroe.
Wow.
Roseanne Barr.
Oh.
Adam Duritz and Herschel Walker.
I don't know who those last two people are.
I bet. I feel like I recognize the name Herschel Walker. I'll have to look him up and show you, but.
Yeah.
Herschel Walker has wrote a book about his struggles with DID, which I find fascinating. And I feel like I would love to read that just because I've also seen people on TikTok and stuff actually talking about like, hi, I have DID and like kind of talking to people about it. And I always am like, I must know everything.
I know.
Because it's so fascinating to
me. Wild. Yeah. Herschel Walker. It looks like he played football and was a boxer maybe.
Okay. Yeah. So,
and I don't remember the other name you told me. I forgot.
Adam Duritz.
Looks like maybe a musician or something.
Does it say on like the normal page? Let me go back.
He's an American singer.
Boom.
Oh, he's Counting Crows.
Oh, there you go. So
wait, let me make sure.
That could be very interesting.
Yeah, he's the front man of Counting Crows.
Yeah.
What do you know? And Santana, I keep seeing stuff about Santana. Who knows? But that's interesting.
Yeah. So there is my story about Billy Milligan. And my sources for this were Wikipedia and all that's interesting.com article, Billy Milligan, the serial rapist who claimed that his other personalities committed his crimes by Austin Harvey, Esquire.com, the true story of Billy Milligan, the first ever defendant found not guilty due to multiple personalities by Lauren Crank, and MayoClinic.com, dissociative disorders, and WebMD.com, dissociative identity disorder.
That was very good.
Woo!
Good job. Okay, so Taylor texted me and told me that hers was quite long.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I will pick one that is short. So
yeah.
Hopefully it will end up being short. And this one is quite the bloomer.
Ooh, I love that.
I know. Todd was like, what did you pick? And then I like couldn't stop smiling when I was telling him about it.
You're like, it's kind of exciting.
My girls, Kate, is always like, Mom, what are you talking about?
And I know. I love like, that.
I can actually tell you about this one. So today, I'm going to be talking to you about how an ordinary English pointer became a decorated World War II soldier.
Whoa. A dog.
A dog. A dog.
Wow.
Let me look her up and show you a picture. Because she's cute.
Little pointer dogs are adorable.
Yes. So this, well, maybe it will show up.
Judy.
Her name is Judy.
I love a dog with a normal human name.
You know,
name.
I'm like, Todd, that was, we always said we would name our dog something funny and mm-hmm. human, and then we freaking didn't.
Ugh.
I mean, there are men named
Chip. I have a cousin who named her cat Kevin, and it just makes me so happy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like from Family Guy.
Yeah.
So that, this is Judy.
Oh my God.
See, she's just such a good girl.
She's beautiful. She's cute. I love a hero dog story.
I know. Yeah, she's white and brown, and she's cute. We grew up with, like, German short hairs and Wieslas who kind of have the same look.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay, so, Judy is her name.
I can't wait.
Yep, so, before we get into her, from the Roman war elephants and medieval horses of World War I, carrier pigeons.
Medieval war elephants?
Yeah, they'd go in and they'd stomp the out of everybody. They just pom, 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 pom.
They just, like, aggressively spray water at them.
Uh-huh. Tusks. Tusking everyone.
Woo!
I don't know, but I can imagine.
A war elephant.
A war elephant, carrier pigeons. Animals have always been used in military conflicts throughout human history.
Wow.
Yep. But one of the most inspiring stories is about an animal in battle might be that of Judy the dog.
Oh my God.
She is a British Royal Navy canine who ultimately became a prisoner of war.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Okay.
No.
And she's a goddamn national treasure.
Who would take her?
Don't put her in the shackles. Take those handcuffs, those paw cuffs off that dog.
Absolutely. You unkennel her this instant.
Unhand her. So from surviving a crocodile attack.
Ooh.
Yeah, she did that.
Whoa.
To abandoning ship in the middle of the South China Sea. Judy navigated the perils of life at war. Like a fearless soldier.
I'm so proud of her.
I'm the proudest. Even after...
And of course she's a female dog.
Of course. You can call her a bitch, and she wears that as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
So she even did, after 3 years in an Indonesian POW camp, she never stopped wagging her tail.
Oh.
And she saved countless men from despair.
I love it.
So Judy, she was a purebred liver and white pointer. Why does it say liver? She was like brown color, not liver color so much.
Maybe.
She was a purebred brown and white pointer. She was born in February 1936 in the Shanghai dog kennels. So she was in a boarding kennel used by English expats in Shanghai, China. She was one of seven puppies born to a dog named Kelly.
Oh, Kelly.
Kelly.
Kelly Kapowski?
Yes, her mother was Kelly Kapowski.
The dog. Of course.
Yep. And so Kelly was owned by a couple from Sussex. And she was originally, her name was Shudi, S-H-U-D-I. I'd imagine it's some Chinese name. Shanghai.
Oh, I thought it was like they were trying to shoo her all the time.
Shudi.
Shudi.
But it was anglicized to Judy. They're like, oh, yeah. Shudi sounds like Judy. Your name is actually Judy. Like, totally. I love when, like, people who work at Chinese or Japanese restaurants, they're like, my name is, like, Cindy. And I'm like, you silly.
Right. No, it's not.
It's not.
But maybe. Have you watched the Disney movie Elemental?
No.
It's like these fire people come off of a ship, so they're like immigrants. And they come off the ship and the people's like, the water person who's taking their name's like, what's your name? And they're like make a fire noise. And they're like, how do you spell that? And they make more fire noises. He's like, how about Bernie and Cinder?
Aw, cute. Yeah, it's probably like that.
Yeah.
So her name is Judy now. So then in the autumn of the year she was born, 1936, the crew of the insect class gunboat, they're insect class because they all have bug names.
I'm like, insect class?
Yeah, the HMS Gnat, like G-N-A-T.
Yeah.
They voted to get a ship's mascot. This was due in part to because they were like competitive against other gunboats. So there was a HMS B, HMS Cicada or Cicada, Cricket. So they're all already,
cicadas, they're sure loud.
Yeah, they're so damn loud. So they all had mascots of their own. So the captain, Captain Boosin's mate, Lieutenant Commander J. Vandergrave, and Chief Petty Officer Charles Jeffrey, they purchased Judy from the kennel and presented her to the crew. Yep, so they're like, so this dog's mother was known as Kelly of Sussex. Mm-hmm. So she was Judy, listed as Judy of Sussex in her Royal Navy paperwork.
Oh, I love it.
She was legit.
She was.
And it was hoped to train her as a gun dog, but the men began to treat her more like a pet instead. Because I had hunting dogs growing up, and they were hunting dogs. They were not pets.
Yeah, they were one of those dogs who would, like, carry a little rifle on their shoulder, and then, like, they would stand up.
and just point. Like, my...
They would shoot the gun. It's incredible.
With their paws.
Yes.
They're like, be careful with her trigger paw.
Yeah, they, like, would hold their one paw straight, and their other paw would, like, do a little tuck.
Yep. Point the gun.
But that kickback would really get them.
Dislocate those arms.
They'd have to develop really strong hind legs.
Yes. A kangaroo probably would be better suited.
Probably.
Okay.
But not as kind.
Yeah, so they treated her like a pet. And several days after her arrival, Jeffrey's log stated that our chances of making her a trained gun dog are very small. Her time spent in the streets of Shanghai was blamed for her lack of hunting instinct.
Oh. You think that that would improve it, though?
I know.
Being a street
dog.
She'd
be scrappy.
Right?
And the only time that she would point in the traditional, like, dog manner, how they point things exactly,
their nose,
was when she could smell food. So, I mean,
street. Can relate.
Street dog. Yes.
I'm like, whoa, what smells good?
I was like, first of all, leave her alone. She's just a baby.
Yeah.
She's learning, okay? So she became a beloved member of the crew of the HMS Gnat. And when she fell into the Yangtze River, the crew ordered a full stop of the boat to rescue her.
Whoa.
No man left behind.
Yeah.
So she grew the ability to have an uncanny sense of danger. Ooh. So she would alert the crew of an incoming enemy aircraft. Because she's freaking dog. She can hear it.
Oh, totally.
The dogs who can, like, sense when you're about to have a seizure,
right?
Or something.
Like, we've talked about this before. Or, like, the dogs that can smell, like, tumors. Or, like...
What?
How?
Dogs, man.
They're incredible.
Yeah, so she would let them know when they were about to be attacked. And she even notified sleeping peers of pirates who had tried boarding the ship.
Oh, my gosh.
And she survived being dog-napped by the crew of an American gunboat. First of all, Americans.
Rude.
Can we not?
But are we surprised?
Are we, though? We're like, you keep all of your guns and ammunition. We want the dog. So then, in 1938, so she's two, she gave birth to 13 puppies.
Judy?
Judy.
What a strong uterus.
Can you even? I said, and what have we done? We haven't given birth. We've given birth way less times, and we're way less impressive.
Literally only three.
Only three. And that, like, took me out for, like, a decade.
I can't even dream of having
she another. She did 13 at once and was a damn soldier.
Yeah, she was.
And I said, that's why I picked this story. After I saw she did all that and had 13 puppies, I was like, I want a t-shirt that says something like, worse than Judy. Like, can we?
You can't top Judy.
How could we ever measure up?
You really can't.
We really.
There's just like a picture of Judy up here and then like a picture of us down here.
Yeah. And it says less than with a less than sign.
Yeah. I never know which side is which.
I mean, I think it's this way. I don't know.
Anyway. It depends on which is on which side. Yeah, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Okay, so then in September 1939, Britain officially declared war on Nazi Germany with the large British Royal Navy gunboats. They were deployed to the river she fell in, the Yangtze, that summer. So Judy and a part of her crew were transferred to the HMS Grasshopper.
Oh.
A 585-ton gunboat. Headed for Singapore, like in Crazy Rich Asians.
Wow, I love that.
Oh my gosh, I love that
movie. If you had to pick an insect to represent you, what would you pick? Oh my
gosh, it's got to be like a black widow. Whoa. Or the stick bugs.
Oh, I do like the stick bugs.
Potato, a roly-poly.
I want to be a katydid.
What is
like,
that?
It's like the little leaf bugs.
Oh my gosh.
They're so cute. Or a ladybug.
You know what I did this weekend? I saved a ladybug from a home show pool. Me and Millie. Millie carried her around while her wings dried, and then we put her on the wall.
And here you are saying you're not a hero.
Maybe I'm on the level as Judy.
Maybe.
I mean, one ladybug. Okay. Yes. So they went to Singapore. A few years, the ship remained stationed and they were at relative peace until Japan invaded in January 1942. Hmm. So the crew escaped with their lives and set sail for the Dutch East Indies, but they were bombed by Chinese aircraft on the South China Sea. So Judy and some of the crew survived, marooned on an island. So the crew escaped from the attack from Japan. And so then they were bombed by Japanese aircraft in the South China Sea. Judy and some of the crew survived. They were marooned on an island where she actually saved the crew when she sniffed out fresh water for them.
Of course she did.
Of course she did. And they would have died without her. And I said, why are human instincts so shitty? We can't sniff out fresh water.
Truly, like, how are we even still alive?
Dogs.
Animals. It's true, though.
Well, it's like when something's about to go down, like, horses, like, would tip people off that, like, totally. Oh, enemies are here. Or, like, a tsunami is coming or whatever. Because animals know.
Yeah. We're only here due to our animal allies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where am I? Yeah, so, we have a flaw. I'd like to take it up with God. Be like, why did you make animals so much smarter than us? Why can a baby giraffe walk 5 minutes after it's born and humans are so stupid?
We're like, eh.
For like a year.
Well, and human babies are pretty amazing. But then like once we're adults, we're just big dum-dums.
Oh, absolutely. New. A woman's body, amazing.
Yes.
Babies, amazing. But like just when you're not pregnant, it's like.
I'm just like, eh. You just here.
You don't even know how to find fresh water.
No. If someone told me, hey, your faucet can no longer produce water, go find fresh water, I'd be like,
I guess we're thirsting to death.
Yeah.
You can't go to puddles. They have tadpoles in them.
They sure do, especially in Florida.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You can't drink those frog babies.
You shouldn't. I mean, you can.
You can.
You shouldn't. Okay, so after days of starvations, the sailors discovered a Chinese sailboat that they commandeered, a.k.a. stole.
Yeah.
And went upriver to Sumatra, where they arrived.
Kama Sutra?
Yes. But they arrived to have to take a 200-mile hike.
Oh.
Through the jungle.
No thanks.
To lead them. And so they did that. And then they were led directly into enemies' hands from there. And I said, damn it, they cannot catch a break.
That was a very sutra of them.
Yeah, it was less, comma, more sutra of them. I don't know. So, okay, so that journey had taken a grueling 5 weeks. And during which time, the sailors were stalked by a Sumatran tiger.
Oh.
This is where Judy was attacked by a crocodile. I said, Judy, you run those zigzags.
Zig, seriously.
Zag, zig, zag. And she knew because she's an animal and she knows.
Absolutely. Crocodiles can run so freaking fast, too.
I know. So they had not only missed the final British evacuation boat by 9 days. They were 9 days late. And they arrived in the Indonesian village that was occupied by Japanese troops. So they were yoinked and taken to Gloeger, I don't know, camp in Indonesia. So they were aware that their captors would likely kill Judy. The sailors hid her under rice sacks.
That's yes. Genius.
I know. And I said, this makes me want to tear up. I can't because, you know.
I can't because we're all dried up.
I'm all
up there. Out. Up there.
Yes. But I'm like, this is what they meant when they said dogs are people too.
Mm-hmm.
She is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It made me so happy. So while at this camp, Judy met Frank Williams, a leading aircraftman in the Royal Air Force. And he won her over. So it's August 1941. They meet in Padang POW camp. So Frank spent a day or two observing the dog. She forlornly sniffed. The way they wrote this, it was like very descriptive and it just, I don't know, it made me happy.
Aww.
She's forlorn. She's yeah, sniffing. She is. She's sniffing around the camp, searching for anything to eat. Frank wasn't aware that Judy had recently lost a human friend who fed her regularly.
Aww.
Yeah, so he just knew the dog seemed troubled and no one in particular seemed to be taking care of her.
Come on, guys. Take care of Judy.
Yeah, and something wobbled in his soul, this article said.
Was it his heart?
Yeah, it wobbled. And so he was in a terrible situation and it was all he could do just to survive himself. But the sight of this dog wasting away was just like not okay with him.
Aww.
So on a freaking hot August afternoon, Frank decided to do something about it. So after waiting in line for his usual portion of rice to be slopped onto his little plate, he sat on the ground in an open area reserved for eating meals. So Jody's watery brown eyes gazed up at Frank, and he poured some of his rice into his palm and said, come on, Judy. He encouraged, this is yours.
Aww.
And so she remained frozen, but like was whining, sadly. And so Frank knew instinctively what she wanted, not merely food, but she also wanted a friend
aww.
To share it with. So he put his whole plate on the ground and used his free hand to, like, rub her ears and stroke her head. And he says, make yourself at home, girl. I don't know. He's not Australian. He's British, so.
Yeah. But maybe he was, like, putting on an Australian accent that day.
He's like, I don't know where you came from. Trying to make her feel at home.
And everyone knows the Australian accent is very welcoming, so.
Yeah. So friendly.
Yeah, so he just pulled it out of his pocket for yes. fun.
So she relaxed, laid down at his feet, and she, like, ate and licked his plate clean. She ate all of his food. And so then they spent the rest of her life side by side.
They needed each other.
They did. And Judy would snarl at guards who had beat him. And so he knew that Judy would be shot dead for her defensive behavior. So he wisely waited for a night when the camp's commander was drunk. And he decided to convince them to make her an official POW 8-1A status, which protected her. He's like, oh. She needs official documentation that she is a POW. And they're like, all drunk. And they're like, you're right. Dogs are people too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was the only animal ever registered as an official prisoner of war during global conflict.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so Judy's presence provided psychological relief for the inmates. So Williams later said, her loving look in the mornings gave him the will to survive for the years he spent as a prisoner. And I'm sure her depending on him was like incentive to stay alive.
Oh, totally.
Because, I mean, that would be a really, for years.
I can't even imagine. That would be real rough.
Yeah, so then in June 1944, the prisoners were transferred to a Harakiki Mayor.
Yep.
Why am I so bad at this? So, formerly the USS Van Warwick, but the ship was torpedoed on June 26th.
No.
So, the Van Warwick was ultimately sunk by us. There was two torpedoes that hit it. So, dozens that were close to the blast were instantly killed. So, Frank was like frozen for a second, didn't really know what to do. But then he felt Judy's wet nose sniffing on his leg. Aww. She's like, come on. Make a decision. So it swept him back to reality. And so he says that Judy was just gazing up at him and she was incredibly calm and motionless and waiting for him to make a move. Like, what are we doing here, pal? So he turned to the small porthole above them. So he's like, I'm not going to fit through that little circle window or whatever. And so he picked up Judy and shoved her head and front paws through the hole and commanded her to swim. He says, get out, you old girl. And he yelled at her. So the drop to the sea was about 15 feet. Before dropping, he said that Lucy looked back at him. She said,
they interviewed her.
She did, yes. She was interviewed. Whoa. On the record, she said, I looked back at him and with a sad look. And he immediately understood. He says, she thought I was nuts.
Oh.
But she wrenched herself with curled paws through the porthole. She, like, jumped out. Yep, so then she disappeared from sight. And so now Frank had to save himself. So she's out in the water. So he got off the ship. So 500 men drowned. Judy paddled to debris. And she showed many the way to safety. Because human instincts are bullshit.
Absolutely.
She's like, gosh, you guys are so dumb.
Just follow me, okay? All you have to do
is this.
Sheesh.
When you hang your dog over the water and they just naturally.
I love that. I wish I could do it to Min.
I know. I do it to Chip every time before we get in the bath. Yeah. I'll hold him over an empty bathtub and he's like.
Will you come help me hold my dog over a bath?
Yes. I'll squat her.
Yeah.
I can do it.
You're super strong.
I'm pretty strong. Okay. So, yes. The survivors were tragically recaptured and just put into a different camp because they were just being transferred, so they weren't free. Yeah, so Judy cannot catch a break again.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so Judy and William survived, and they were ultimately freed from the camp when at the end of the war, they were liberated in 1945. Okay, so Frank and Judy went straight to the hospital compound that was set up for the POWs. They stayed there for about a month, slowly regaining weight and strength and ensuring that Frank's malaria was finally gone. So one afternoon, an orderly found Frank playing catch with Judy out in the yard. And both of them had, like, regained their normal weight and they're just feeling way healthier.
They're thriving.
So the orderly handed Frank embarkation papers, and it says to leave for England aboard the troop ship Antinor. And he says that it was the most glorious words he's ever read. He's going home.
Yes.
Yep. So Frank smuggled Judy on board, and then they anchored in Liverpool in October 1945. And what should have been an incredible moment of triumph for Frank was instead bittersweet.
No.
So, to the point of tragic, some might say. So, he walked down the gangway. Judy was walking in front of him on a leash. Waiting to meet them was an official of the Ministry of Agriculture.
Oh, no.
Who put Judy in quarantine for 6 months.
No!
Yeah, that's a long time. I know they'll do that to dogs. Like, when you go to Australia, they have, like, quarantine. So, you don't, like, infect the dogs with some disease. I don't know. I don't know. But she was there for 6 months. That's a long time. That's
so long. Did she get to play with other people?
Or other dogs, I hope. I don't know. I hope they treated her like the treasure that she is.
Truly.
Yeah, so during that time, Judy's incredible journey made her a national heroine. The press called her Gunboat Judy and the Precious Pointer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then on May 1946, there was a ceremony honoring her service in West London's Cadogan Square, an elite neighborhood akin to New York's Park Avenue. So, like, very fancy. So ritzy, Judy. Right? She wore a fur coat.
She always does.
Made of a different animal.
She wouldn't dare leave her house without her fur coat. She actually
borrowed Cruella's Dalmatian coat for the occasion.
Whoa.
She was wearing diamonds.
Maybe considered controversial, but isn't it a statement?
She deserved it.
Yeah.
She was wearing high gloves. She had a diamond ring on.
Over the glove.
And she was smoking one of those very long cigarettes. Actually, Cruella de Vil is based on Judy.
And everyone was like, Judy, it's not good for your health. And she's like, but don't I look like a bad bitch?
Yeah. And she's like, you would too if you've seen everything that I've seen. That's her smoker voice.
Aw, Judy.
After she...
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. All right. So...
Didn't she go on to do some of those smoker commercials where she was smoking through her neck? Oh, yeah, she had a
big trach, yes, and they were like, look at this.
Yeah.
Look how sad. Don't smoke. But look how cool she looks, though, still.
Judy, saving lives all over the place.
She really did.
She really did.
Okay. So, yeah. So during her award ceremony, she sat casually as the medal was pinned to her collar, surrounded by former POWs and dog lovers alike.
I love it.
So her friendship with Williams continued for the rest of her life. She received the Dickin Medal of Valor for her bravery in May 1946. Though Judy died of cancer at the age of 13 in 1950, her legacy lives on as one who selflessly protected and gave joy to those without a hope in deadly conflict.
Damn it, Judy.
Damn it, Judy. Why can't dogs live forever? But we know where she went. 13
years?
All dogs go to heaven. We sure know this.
Yeah.
We know this.
There's a whole... You guys, if you're Gen Z, you're listening, there's actually a movie on it.
And it made me cry.
Yeah.
So she really lived the life during all of that. This is what I wrote. She birthed and whelped 13 puppies in the middle of that.
She birthed and whelped?
I don't know. They call it like whelping.
Whelp?
Yeah, whelp, she did it. And I want to know, where are her descendants now? Did she bark in a British accent?
Mm-hmm.
I want more about her.
One of her descendants lives in my neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think we could get them on the show?
I've been collecting it shit.
It's the least we can do to honor her ancestor.
Oh, it's going in a case for sure.
For sure. Yeah, there's a book about her. I was going to try to find it because if you're like me and you love her.
And you guys, she wrote the book herself.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of muddy paw prints.
No. She, held it. She can hold a cigarette. She can hold a pen.
Oh, okay. It's called Judy, The Unforgettable Story. That's all I've got right here.
I love it.
Yes. And you can get it on Amazon, Walmart, or shop small. Okay. Where am I? Anyway, my sources were New York Post, Meet World War II's Only Canine POW by Robert Weintraub, and an All That's Interesting article, How an Ordinary English Pointer Became a Decorated World War II Soldier by Margot Margatov, and Wikipedia.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't that fun?
What a delight.
I'm delighted.
What a delightful ending to this episode.
So happy.
I hope your heart has
Judy
swole up to the size of Judy.
Just a English pointer size heart.
Yeah.
That'll kill
you. And then you follow that heart wherever it points you.
Follow it. When you're like trying to, you have to make a decision. You have to be like, what would Judy do?
And then all of a sudden your heart will be like.
Like an English pointer.
Yeah.
Is want to do.
Yeah.
It usually will lead you towards food.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope that you really understood the point of this episode.
Yeah.
And that we hope you DID.
Yeah.
And that you have a great week and you consider Judy when making any decision.
Absolutely.
When you think you don't like a dog, be like, they are in some way related to Judy. So yeah.
When my dog's remember,
barfing everywhere.
Her sweet smoker's voice talking to you.
Yes, I hope she'll haunt
guiding you.
Yes. And do less and God bless. Bloom and bloom out.